I'm Sue Peters. I want to talk about some knowledge that is not taught in our schools and basically was taken out of public discourse around 1952, very slowly. And it has to do with family farmers, which from 1952 on have slowly been driven off of their land because they don't get a price for their work. And they can't afford to keep their farms, and they're driven off. And the result of that over this long term, it's been unfortunately a governmental policy from 1952 on to slowly drive off the family farmer. And what we have in its place is corporate agriculture. So this is a piece of knowledge from an organization called the National Organization of Raw Materials, which is a group of farmers who are still hanging on and trying to get this information out. And I'm a member of their organization. I really respect what they're trying to do, and they're all farmers, so I'm on their conference call once a week, and we talk about what I'm going to talk to you about in the politics, and then they talk about what they're growing and you know, what's happening with the weather and this and that. Okay, so it's called a parity economy. Parity, there's actually parity in our national platform. There's a parity, but there's no explanation for it. So this is really an explanation for it. Okay, next. So in 1769, Benjamin Franklin observed there are three ways a nation becomes wealthy. You can make war and grab the wealth. You can trade and cheat for the wealth. Think of free trade. Or you can profit through agriculture, whereby planting a seed creates new wealth as if by a miracle. That's our new wealth every growing season. Next. So in terms of trade, a friend of mine in New York, I'm in New York, he's in Oklahoma. Well, when we were discussing this, he said, well, look at the World Trade Center in New York. It's all about cheating. The world's traders have built this showcase, a theater, to make us think this is where wealth comes from. But it's the guy who's working down here on the farm that's created our wealth. It's just work. It's the worker. Next. So here's Norm. So what I discovered, and a friend introduced me to Norm, and I don't know if anyone has ever read the books by Charles Walters or read Acres Magazine, but Charles Walters was a major proponent of this, keeping this information alive. He started Acres, which is an eco-agriculture magazine that's still going on, in 1970. And through that magazine, he was also a scientist. He's an incredible person. He's an economist, a scientist, and it's all about helping farmers develop natural means of growing food. But he also kept this information alive in that magazine. So what is this information? Okay, Norm has knowledge that is provable, it's not theory, about how an economy works, the whole economy, not just the farming communities, and how money can be distributed as widely as possible to the owners and workers of private enterprise. And they discovered natural laws. The people who developed this knowledge, it was in the 1930s, during the Great Depression, and is actually originally begun by some farmer in Iowa who, hey, the week before he was selling his corn for like $2 a bushel, and then the next week it's like $1 a bushel. And he said, why is this happening? Why, you know, in the middle of the Depression, he said that. Why, you know, my corn is the same corn, same nutrients. But a week ago, I got, more for it. Now it's like so much less. And he started this. He gathered around him economists and other people who wanted to answer this question. So they discovered the natural laws of an economy. And their teaching of parity agriculture was official policy in our federal government from 1942 to 1950. And then this neoliberal economic slowly took over public and official discourse, and it was silenced. But it's a natural law. It's not that you can, you know, change nature. Okay, next. So I ask myself, why haven't I been taught this in my education? You know, why don't they teach this? Okay, why not? Let's see. So this is some of the tenets. Agriculture must be considered the foundation of the economy of the United States. It's the nation's largest industry. It creates the biggest share of the raw material input of new wealth in any accounting period. So this, when I learned this, I'm a city girl. I thought, oh, you're kidding me. It's the largest industry? And it's creating the biggest share of new wealth. But it's true. It's the basis of our economy. Next. Wild berries feed no one until someone picks them. New wealth is created by the application of human labor to natural resources. Next. Our cities, industries, and small businesses would not exist without the work of the farmer. It's at the base of everything. Next. So, what's a parity price for the farmer? Parity prices keep agriculture in balance with the cost of labor and capital in the rest of the economy. So, I'm a farmer, I have to buy equipment. I have to go out into that economy and have enough money to buy that equipment. Well, if I'm not given a fair price for my product, I can't do that, right? I want to go to my local rural town and buy from the retailers there. I need things. I need things to run my farm. If I don't have enough money, I can't do that. And his business is going to go out of business, which is what's been happening with forcing family farmers off the land, and the rural towns have been dying. And, mm-hmm. and it's a policy that was a slow policy. They planned it out from 1952 to the current. It's still going on. I think today, unfortunately, family farmers are one of the highest sectors of our nation in terms of suicide, because they haven't been able to. They don't want to lose their farms.
It's true globally, in fact.
Is that globally?
Yeah. Okay. As well as the U.S.
Yeah. Okay. So parity. If you give the farmer a good price, a fair price, Norm isn't asking. You know, they don't want billionaire farmers. They just want enough of a price so that a family farmer can continue with his business. But it's even more than that. It's a natural law about the entire economy. So if parity ensures that earned income, so the farmer's earning his income, the people who are making the farm equipment, they're earning their income. The retailer who's selling the farm equipment, he's earning his income. So if you give the farmer, who's the basis of our economy, a fair price, he'll be able to buy all his stuff that he needs, and the people out in the rest of the economy will have enough money that they've earned. So, next. So gross farm income, so that's, you know, before taking away any costs or anything.
I just want to warn you, we're running out of time.
How many
time minutes? Is getting short.
How many time?
It's minutes? About 12:22.
But how many minutes do I have?
8 minutes left.
Well, 8 minutes for the entire presentation. So
oh,
we've got a couple of people who haven't spoken.
Oh my goodness.
We'll only be going into our lunch hour, right?
So, so the income to the farmer, it generates our national income. Now, our national income isn't enough today because we're all going into debt to get what we need. But if the farmer was given a fair price, we would all be able to earn enough and wouldn't have to go into the terrible debt that we're in now. Next. I skipped this. All right, this is, it says, of parity prices allows the farmer to buy from rural stores, to purchase his equipment, and to pay his workers good wages. And so, Greens for Monetary Reform, that's a website that explains our platform, Green the Dollar, would distribute public money. That's one way. But parity, giving a parity price, which was implemented federally from 1942 to 1952, that would also distribute the money as earned income through the whole economy. So I'll end there.
So we have a plan.